Herebestpractice.com is sponsored by Best Management Practice, the home of OGC's best practice guidance.
Hello and welcome to an audio briefing about MSP. This is the free overview, and we've got Rod Sowden in the house. Welcome, Rod.
Cheers, Craig. This is really intended for people who don't know much about MSP or might only have touched it in the past. So I'm going to take you through a kind of background, how it works, where it fits into the OGC space. Why we have program management, different types of program management, and look at the model and just take you through it. Okay, so here we go. The background to it, I mean, it's having its 10th birthday this year. It was released in 99. Didn't get a lot of take up.
Funny, you're gonna have a party.
I'm going on to do a cannonball run from to celebrate it. I've been involved in it since it first came out back in my days in the BBC where we deployed it. Its first release was in 99. It was very conceptual in those days. I think most people were looking for a PRINCE2 coordination tool, and they got this really weird thing that was going on about delivering strategic change. And it's evolved through a couple of versions. 2003 put the meat around it, and I'd like to think that the work I did with the rest of the authors in 2007 really solidified its place in the marketplace. And since then, it's got some traction and foothold across the world. We work in Australia quite a bit, and we're seeing it in South Africa and particularly in the Benelux countries, and of course the stationery office who look after the publications. Just a little bit about why the OGC has MSP in place. It's supposed to be a referenceable standard that reflects best practice and helps people make decisions. And really, the real value of this kind of process of doing interviews and chats and kind of keeping you up to date with it is the thing is that's moving on every day. Every day we're working with different clients, we learn something new, they learn something new, and best practice has moved on. And in the publications themselves, you know, we're still back where we, you know, MSP was really refreshed, a lot of work went into it, but we were working on that in 2006 and it came out in 2007. So people need to bear that in mind. This is an area which really moved on in that period.
I mean, sorry to interrupt you there, but I remember when MSP came out and I was using it, and people are really starting to grab hold of it now, aren't they? It's so much of a standard that people seem to be getting a lot better at it in terms of understanding how a program is different to a project, I suppose. And the reason that is because MSP exists and there's something there to understand, isn't there? Whereas before it was all projects.
Oh, that's true. And most you still see people advertising, we're delivering a change program using PRINCE2, so they're a bit uninitiated. And I think it's become, I still saw those last year coming out through publications looking for support through the European journals and stuff. And I think the growth of it, 2003's version really got it some traction, started to make sense to people then. People started to understand that there was something more than projects. We were doing stuff with BT, who were a really big project organisation. And there was an element of people who were really getting it. Since 2007... I think we really kind of brought it home to people that this is tangible. You can deal with it, and people are much more involved in delivering change programs and look and recognizing that PRINCE2 or project management isn't the end game.
Yeah,
you know, your work on portfolio management has shown that that's evolving on, and you end up with lots of programs. I think one of the big issues that people are still struggling with is what is a program. We're doing work with a number of clients, and we're still kind of trying to bring clarity to what is the P word. What is a program? Can I come back to that? Is that all right? I'm going to work my way through this. All right. So just a bit about why MSP, about the context of MSP. Where it's really focused is a lot of the research from the OGC gateways showing why programs fail. Things like poorly defined visions, poor stakeholder engagement, not enough focus on benefits, which is still a really sticky area for a lot of organisations, and the failure to really have a clear destination in terms of a blueprint. And those were the areas that this version of MSP really went after. And 2 years on, lots of our clients, lots of people at shows and the other ways that we pick up feedback are recognising that the backbone of MSP is the key to it. Mm. And if they could follow MSP, they'd be they've got much greater chance of success. The problem that people have implementing MSP compared to, say, PRINCE2 is that you can implement PRINCE2 in the middle of the organisation. You can sort out your project management delivery with the middle management tier and the tiers below it. With MSP, it's very difficult to get traction if you haven't got board level commitment.
Yeah.
And the ones where we're seeing the successes is where they've got board level commitment. That's an interesting one, actually. Maybe a bit of P3M3 would come in here. Characteristics of success in developing, in adopting MSP is board level commitment and some sort of evangelist in the organisation that's passionately driving it on. Back in my BBC days, that was me.
Well, I think you've touched on it, Rob. Rob, sorry. Why do I keep calling you Rob? All right. I was trying to stick with Rob. I mean, everyone always says, oh, you've got to get board commitment. You've got to get board commitment. Now, I've worked with organisations before where you've got board commitment. They're all on board, but where it falls over is the communication down within the organisation. And I think the point about the evangelism is critical, because you know, you can work your backside off getting everyone involved and committed to it, but actually if there isn't a comms mechanism to then push that through the organisation, then it was kind of irrelevant, really, wasn't it, to do it?
And also that comes down to the evolving competence of people to deliver the stuff. You can have the commitment, but actually what do you do next? Yeah, MSP is not a rule book. I mean, it's key element of MSP is it's a framework. So it gives you a framework in which to deliver your change. But I know some people get a bit frustrated because it says, right, do a blueprint. In this version, we've done a whole chapter on what a blueprint needs to be, what it needs to look like. But we haven't delivered you a bunch of tools to fill in and a bunch of forms to fill in that create a blueprint for your organisation. I think one of the issues going forward for MSP is whether the current format of it is probably gone as far as it can. Do we need to look at the way Prince 2's gone and say, does MSP need to be a method? Yeah, and we've done work ourselves for clients where we've actually taken the MSP framework and applied it in a lot more detail and step-by-step approach, because there is a step-by-step approach. So in response to your earlier questions, what is a program? Well, I'll tell you what MSP says. MSP defines program management as the action of carrying out the coordinating organisation, direction and implementation of a dossier, great word, of projects and transformational activity to achieve outcomes. The change state and realise the benefits. And the other key thing that it says is about strategic importance. Now, behind that, within MSP, we recognise that there's basically three types of impact that programmes can have. We've got your specification-led programmes, which would be regeneration of an area of a city, maybe the Eurotunnel, those kind of things where the predictability of the outcome is relatively straightforward, but the complexity of getting there is difficult and needs a framework and structure. The second type of programme that it looks at is business change. And to be frank, the MSP 2007 one is heavy on business change programmes, much more popularly be called transformation programmes, where it's looking at the balance between project delivery, really focusing at how you actually squeeze those benefits out, because they never happen by accident. And the third type are more the societal programmes that you sort of see in the NHS, the behavioural things where you're expecting a community to change. Very unpredictable outcomes in that one. Very, very hard to define benefits. Some of the clients, regional development agencies, where they're investing in an economy that they hope will have a reaction. So the MSP recognises those three types. And the other area that it recognises, programmes come from three different perspectives. And it talks about emergent programmes, which is what a lot of people experience. Yeah, we've got a bunch of projects and you add them all together and suddenly call them a programme. But in those early days, you may not have a proper focus. So the tool, the MSP framework tries to deal with that. So you've got your emergent programme, then you've got your compliance ones where you're reacting to legislation. You've got a deadline of 2 or 3 years. You know, you've got some sort of settlement to meet where you've really got to focus at getting that done. So that's compliance where really the goalposts aren't quite so manoeuvrable. And then the final one, and probably the one that MSP really tries to work on the most, is the vision-led. I think people reading the book have been misunderstood these three different types, because we've got into some kind of weird conversations with people at times saying, is it vision led? Is it compliance? Is it emergent? And the reality of it is it's probably a bit of all of those. You know, most programs originate because there's a driver that you need to do something. Mm. Yeah, and in reaction to that, you've got a bunch of initiatives that you're going to wrap into it. And then the trick is to see beyond the achievement, the compliance, to get the value after it. All right, so those are three areas. the types of programs and the impact that they have in the environment they're in. But particularly MSP has, in this particular version, majored on the business change ones. But we're seeing more and more people using it for the societal economic ones, where they're trying to stimulate economic change, particularly in a credit crunch. And it needs more interpretation and a bit of intellect to interpret the ideas.
I was just about to say that, I mean, we've got those different categories of it, but actually, I think part of the beauty of MSP is that you can overlook, you can use MSP as the foundation for any of those kind of changes, can't you? Any of those kind of vision-led program or society, I like that word, societal, if I could say it, program. Yeah.
Socioeconomic, I was using the other day in a workshop. I think that's part of the reason why local authorities have really picked it up since 2007, is it accepts the ambiguity of the outcome and the benefits and all that area. It's kind of more fluid in the way that it deals with it. You know, it's not saying you'll have to be a year. It could say, what it's saying is you have to face up to the fact is it probably won't happen in a year. And so you should be planning your benefits and all that sort of stuff over four or five years. Just a little bit about, a bit more about what program management is from MSP's point of view. It's basically saying, look, you've got a strategic direction here. And what we're trying to do is map your strategy, make sure you stay focused on your business strategy, that you've got projects that are going to achieve it, that we're focused on the sustainability of the business, not just about squeezing benefits out. You know, there's plenty of organisations who've almost overdosed on change programmes. They've been so focused on delivering the benefits, they've forgotten what they were there for. And they actually take out the frontline staff rather than, you know, in a desperation to retrieve the benefits they've promised because they haven't really kept a focus. So the key characteristics of them, you know, you're definitely going to have project delivery involved. MSP does a lot in the area of managing the tension between the need for projects to deliver on time against the rate of change that the business can cope with, and the balance against the third dimension was achieving strategy, which can be evolving as you're going along. So MSP has a lot of stuff in there about balancing that tension. It's got a lot of focus on benefits. You know, if you haven't got benefits, you're probably not doing a program if you're not talking about them. If you're running a bunch of projects that don't have a benefits and don't have a clear end state that they're contributing to, you're really talking about, I know it's a bit of a dodgy word nowadays, but you're really talking about a portfolio of projects, or you might call it a work stream or a strand of work. We wouldn't categorise it as a project, as a program. MSP gives us this concept of tranches as well. Some of the reasons why programs have failed is they just go on and on and on and on and on. There's no point where you can eloquently bring it to an end. And MSP uses the word tranche for that. An end where you deliver a capability and get to an end state. And it provides us with governance.
It's an energising point, isn't it? I mean, if you put 12 months effort in to get to a certain level of capability, you need to have that. You can't get to the year five's capability just by looking at year five. You need to kind of chop that up a bit so you can focus on delivering in that 12 months, for example, if that's what the 12-month the first tranche is. But also, I know there's a gap in there, isn't there? Or not so much a gap, it's seamless, but there's a point where you deliver that capability in the tranche and then look at doing the next tranche, and you're replanning, and you look at what the next capability is and reassessing. And also it links into the portfolio stuff, as you know, in terms of what's the environment doing. So we're continually looking at the environment as well to see how that impacts on the next tranche. So I think it's a really key point.
I think that's that word re-energise is one that we've learnt from since it went live, and where we've worked with clients where they seem to have evolved to a state. They've had their first punt at project, putting a program in where they've maybe focused on project management too much. And we do more on that on one of the other interviews about how you actually, the words quite often is rescue. I actually think it's re-energise a program. Where you've kicked a program off, you've got a bunch of projects, you look at the project, the program plan, and there's so many projects it looks more like the kickoff of the Great North Run, and off they go and off the projects all go in reaction to this hyper energy that's entered the organisation, quite often associated with a new chief exec or a change at the top. And about a year in, people go, hang on, which one goes first then? And they're all running together and they're actually not going anywhere. And that's a really valuable there's a valuable learning process that people go through during that year, and they make achievements, but they realise they haven't got the programme hasn't got the full integrity it needs. And we're helping clients by saying, look, see it as the end of your first tranche. Yeah, and what you've actually gained in that tranche MSP would say you've got a step changing capability. What you guys have got is a step changing capability, which is your knowledge about how programs have to be delivered. And you realize that they're not a bunch of projects, you know, that'll get there on their own. You need some more focus. And that's where the first tranche seems to be inevitable. We've got about 7 or 8 clients all in the same state. 18 months ago, we said to them what they needed to think about doing. They said, very interesting. Well, we're off we go then. And we're doing a lot of work with them now about how do we merge it all back together again.
So after you've done a year, you've gone through quite a few of the different stages that you'd go through in a MSP anyway, haven't you? You've gone through the definition and you're in the mix and you're delivering it.
Well, actually, that's actually part of the problem. What they do is, what we've noticed a real tendency is they go through identifying the programme. And so they put their programme board together, they sort out their mandate, they produce a programme brief, which is a few headlines about what they're going to do, might run into 2 or 3 pages, you know, maybe 5 or 6 pages, vastly lacking in detail, the programme brief. And from that, they spot all the projects that they need and off they go. And that this will be quite often because their comfort is in their competence around project management. You know, most organisations move into MSP are already competent in projects and prints too, or they've already got that embedded in the organisation. One of the interesting things working down in Australia 2 or 3 years ago was that they weren't. Yeah, they were not embedded in prints too. They were using a range of project management techniques, and they could get MSP, and they weren't having to overcome the internal cultural issues about rising up out of the project, you know, and taking the helicopter view. They had the helicopter view and saw that MSP was solving the problem for them. And that was exactly where we picked it up in the BBC. We were involved in a big internal change programme. It had a vision, it had perceived benefits, MSP fitted beautifully into it. But a year in, just like everybody else is learning now, in 2000 I think it was, we realised that actually we had enough to give us some shape and focus. What we didn't have was enough to really give us the structure. And my first programme ended up reinventing itself a year in, because it refocused. And the business moved on, it restructured, and it recognised programme management was good, but it was a different, it went from basically a business change programme to a specification led programme. And in that case, which ended up being a massive refurbishment of local radio stations. And
it's lucky that they actually recognised that though, and you know, remoulded it. And I think that's always a positive thing, as opposed to a
the programme, because it actually had the mechanisms rolling, moved largely to the digitalisation of local programmes in the BIB, which was fantastic. And you're all out there enjoying them now, because I'm sure you're listening to BBC local radio all the time. All right, can I just, because we're nearly at the end, aren't we? I'll just do a little thing about for you, because about what MSP itself entails, if you've never had the pleasure of touching it, feeling it and loving it. It's made up of 3 areas. It's made up of things that we call principles. And we could go on all day about why programs fail and all that sort of stuff. So within MSP, we wrote about why programs succeed. So you've got your principles, which are characteristics of successful programs. We've then got a life cycle, which became called the transformational flow. And it's called the flow because programs do ebb and flow. They're longer term. They're being buffeted all the way through. So their timescales change, their focus changes, and the amount of energy that they've got can change, and the amount of funds available to them can change. So it flows rather than the kind of hardcore life cycle that you might expect in a project. And around that life cycle, we've got called the governance themes. And these are basically the core techniques and areas of focus that you need to keep yourself on target. So they wrap themselves around that life cycle, and they're a focus on vision, risk, things that you're probably quite familiar with and you can find out more about elsewhere. But it's almost like if you're looking at a ship and you stood on the bridge of the ship, the life cycle gives you the transformational flow is almost like the navigation of it, whereas the themes and that kind of stuff about the captain keep an eye on the weather and all the changing elements to make sure that you're staying, that there's nothing that's going to knock you off course, while the navigator is going to be thinking about the direction, which is through the transformational throw. And within the transformational flow, there's what we call processes, but you can also call them steps that a program has to follow to be successful. And that's an area, as I'm closing off, that I think people should look at a lot more, because where we're looking at clients, they get the idea of some of the themes, they kind of get the idea of the principles, but what they're not doing is paying enough attention to the steps embedded within that transformational flow, and they're trying to take shortcuts. Mm. And they're taking shortcuts, and they're ending up the creek without a paddle. The transformational flows are split into six elements. The first one is identifying a program. This is the one that most of the client that people seem to be comfortable with. It takes an idea, something that's driving the need for the program, whether it's an opportunity or a threat, and it does the basic early work on taking that idea and turning it into a concept. And that concept is described within a document in MSP called the program brief. What people are tending not to do is think about another document supposed to be created called program preparation plan, which is the plan to go from this point in the program through to the next point. And the next stage is called defining a program. That takes you the ideas in the program brief and does the detailed analysis of the options. So it creates a blueprint, which is the future state for the organization. It does the analysis of the benefits. And by the end of defining a program, you've got a full-blown business case and a copper bottom proposition where you've analyzed all the ways to actually get there. We're really seeing a lot of organizations who are not following that through. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we believe this is the case is there's a lack of basic competence in organizations to do the work. We've seen organizations seem to hit a bit of a wall when asked to develop a blueprint, because who's ever written a blueprint? Which is tough, and we cover that in another interview.
Well, I think the defining a program is where everything gets mixed up, isn't it? And I mean, you know, when you're in that stage, it feels as if you're in the center of a typhoon or something, isn't it? Because everything's flowing around at the same time. You've got the risk stuff, you've got your issues, you've got your blueprint, which is a challenge, your business case, benefits, team, stakeholders, communication. I mean, all of that.
Yeah, everybody wanting everything. But there is a balance that needs to crack. There's three key pieces of information in there. There's your blueprint, i.e. this is where we're starting, this is where we want to get to. Your future state, which is the kind of where we want to get to bit. There will be a number of options for that. And people need to be crisp when they're in that typhoon about what they're trying to get. Because everybody's got an opinion on everything. What are the options for the future state, whether it's 5 or 10 years away? That's your blueprint. To get from where you are today to that future state is going to be your projects. There's going to be different ways of delivering those projects, all with different costs. And the other side of it is the benefits. Unfortunately, the biggest benefits tend to come from the most ambitious blueprints and can quite often cost the most to get there, which means they may be out of reach for people. But your business case comes from that, the balance between the blueprint, the projects, and the benefits. All right, that's your golden triangle within MSP. You've got to keep the balance between those three. And as you go through your life cycle, your checks and your reviews are saying, do we still want to go there? Can we afford it, which is your projects? And is the return, are the benefits still there? Is the evidence that we can make it? You come out the back of defining, and then you go into delivery. And delivery of program, in MSP terms, we call that managing the tranches, which is cycles of change. And embedded within that cycle, we have project management under a heading called delivering the capability, because you might have 1 or 20 or 30 projects running, and each one of them goes through a cycle of you start them, you approve them, you control them, you close them. The big thing in MSP, which is really differentiates it from any other method or framework that we've seen, is realizing the benefits, which is the process for delivering the change. And in the designing of that, some of you might be aware of some organizational development research and philosophies, and we used a guy called Kurt Lewin's theory of organizational change. It was about unfreezing organization, moving it to the new state, and freezing it in the new state. And actually, the openings part of this process is split into three. Pre-transition is basically about you unfreezing the organization. Then you move into transition, which is where you're taking the outputs from the projects. And you're going through the rough stuff of going live. And actually, the problem with people who don't get benefits is they get through that, they achieve the new operating state, which we would call outcomes, and declare victory. Mm. Well, actually, at that stage, you might actually be operating at a lower state than you were before. And we've got this process called third tail of the process is called post-transition. That's where you decommission the old ways of working. And that's where the Kurt Lewin theory about reinforcing behavioural change, rewarding people who move to the new state and are actually shown to be part of change agents and change leaders, helps people come through the change. All right, and organisations, you know, there's this old saying, they change one step at a time. Now, the value at the end of the tranche process is we've created a way for you to stop programmes if they ain't going to make it to where you want them to be. Mm. And that's why we have this end of tranche review, which is a really objective view. And if you're in the public sector and you're using Gateway, that's basically where you'd have a Gateway review.
Mm.
All right. And then we move into closing, you know, which is basically shutting up shop and moving on.
Is it so easy as that? I think just back to the point about the benefits thing, I think what you said about the people being engaged at the end to make sure that the benefits are really realised is critical, isn't it? Because it's tough enough at the beginning to measure them. It's tough delivering the change, but then it's pretty easy just to forget about chasing up on the benefits and making sure you actually do deliver it. Because I've seen programs, for example, like they've been running for 3 years, they deliver the stuff, this amazing stuff that goes in there, but then the program closes and they haven't really captured all the benefits that were actually in the business case, and everyone moves on to the next thing.
Yeah, and benefits realization, even though it doesn't necessarily, it's quite difficult to draw it graphically, it actually starts almost on day one. Because when you put your program mandate together, you've got some aspiration about some improvement that you want. Even if it's a management statement saying we're going to take out 10%, there's a benefit that's there from day one. And the realising the benefits process within MSP starts on day one. And the last activity, which is actually where you report you've got your benefits, is actually the last day of the programme. Or it's certainly the moment in the programme where you trigger the decision to close because you've declared victory. Or use Pareto's rule and go, well, we've got 80% of them, the remaining 20% are going to cost 80% of the cost.
Mm.
So it's absolutely dominant. I'm not so sure just reading the book as a flat set of pages you pick that up, but it's absolutely there. Benefits management starts on day one and it's still going. Well, it is going on the last one because the last activity is disband the team and you're disbanding the business change managers and actually they've got to go off and make sure those benefits stick.
Yeah, and I suppose when you talk about this in the context of portfolio management and P3O, one of the key things in there is that there's a mechanism at a strategic level to ensure that those benefits are continually reviewed if they're not all delivered within the timescale of the programme, which the chances are they won't be. So there's got to be that connection from a portfolio perspective and P3O perspective into MSP, which it does perfectly, to make sure that energy is still there about benefits. So it's someone's actual job within the portfolio office to be responsible for corporate benefits and realising that and maintaining relationships with the key areas that have changed in the organisation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the real strength of what's happened with these is that the lead authors have worked so closely together. We haven't necessarily agreed on everything all the time, but we've worked really closely together to blend it in, and we've done this and P3M3. The maturity modelling tool is underpinning all of it. So organisations want to get better. Yeah. So if P3M3 would pick up that you might be delivering your programmes well, but you're not actually doing anything about your long-term benefits realisation. So it would be recognising the gap that you would have because you haven't got portfolio in place.
Thanks for downloading this audio briefing. If you can think of another subject that would be useful to you as an audio briefing, you can make a suggestion online at hearbestpractice.com.